Where do you go to get parenting skills? Where do you go to learn how to be a mom and a dad? Well, at this point in my life, I'm starting to think the place you go is church. The place where you learn parenting skills has got to be inside the Word of God and inside God's family. For 12 years, I have believed this statement. If we as a church can master just two things, 90% of our problems would disappear. If we can master two things, those two things are how to be married and how to raise children. Well, we have never shied away from either of these topics. And tonight, we will begin a series called Intentional Parenting. Now, just to let you know, I am not an expert on parenting. I consider myself a fellow learner along with you. The truths and the insights that we will study are going to come from God's Word. We're also going to use and lean heavily on a text that I have been studying called Raising Kingdom Kids by Dr. Tony Evans. Raising Kingdom Kids. You can write that down because I would encourage you to buy the book and to study it. Raising Kingdom Kids, Dr. Tony Evans. It should be a part of your library at home. Now, I know hearing about raising children can cause some to cringe. And I would like to offer just two words of encouragement from the outset. The first word of encouragement is to single parents. I encourage you to remember Paul's apprentice, who would go on to be a powerful and influential leader in the church. We are told that Timothy's mother and grandmother were Jews who followed Jesus, but that Timothy's father was a Greek who receives no mention at all of being instrumental in Timothy's excellent upbringing. Instead, all the credit for who Timothy is and how he was raised is given to Lois and Eunice, his grandmother, his mother. Now, I've asked Mr. Robert in 2 weeks to teach extensively and exhaustively on that subject, so you don't want to miss what Mr. Robert teaches in 2 weeks. But know this for tonight. It can be done. And you have an incredibly helpful church family to assist you. The next encouragement. This is for those who feel like the parenting ship has sailed, and you are now forced to reap what you have sown. Well, I want you to write down this axiom. I believe I put it on your outline. Only a fool trips on what is behind him. Yes, it is harder to fix an 18-year-old than to fix an 18-month-old. But God has you here tonight. And he has you here for a reason. And with God, all things are possible. The story of the prodigal son is a powerful lesson that teaches us that teens, young adults, even mature adults can finally see the truth. And they can come to their senses. I'm a firm believer that you only lose and you are only beaten when you give up. There is plenty that you can do. It's an incredibly large spectrum. You may stretch all the way from asking for your child's forgiveness to throwing them out of their house on your rear end. We'll learn about it. All right. You ready to get your hands dirty? Yep. And for tonight, we are going to start by identifying and painting the problem. We have much to learn, and it will take many visits here on Saturday night to learn it all. But for tonight, we must get a clear view of the issues that we are facing in parenting. We have to get a firm grip on the realities and the truths that we are dealing with. So here we go. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 22 through 26. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. Instead, pursue righteous living. By the way, righteous living means righteous is always doing the right thing. If you always do the right thing, you are righteous. Pursue righteous living. Pursue faithfulness and love and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone. Be able to teach. Be patient with difficult people. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts, and they will learn the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape the devil's trap. For they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. Okay? You may think this is a strange place to start parenting, but this passage gives us great insight. Great insight to the spiritual battle that is being fought for our kids, and it offers us excellent principles on how to fight for our kids. I've titled this message, Wouldn't It Be Nice? Because a lot of realities and facts that we will learn are sobering. And they kind of hit you in the face with truth. But as the Bible says, the truth will set you free. Us believing fairy tales or untruths will only lead us into bedlam and confusion. So for point one, wouldn't it be nice if our natural world and the spiritual world wanted nothing but to protect and safeguard our children from danger? It would be nice if there were no adversaries against our kids and the spirit world that exists around us were filled with nothing but happy, harmless spirits and agendas. Wouldn't it be nice if the only characters vying for our kids' attention were Disney characters who wanted nothing more than to bring joy into our kids' lives? Well, it may be nice, but it wouldn't be true. The truth is, point one, there is a war going on for our kids, and we are not winning. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 13. God tells us, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day and have done everything to stand firm. 1 Peter 5:8, stay alert, watch out, because your great enemy, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. The Bible is making it as clear as the day is long that there is a battle going on around us, and this battle is for the hearts and the lives and the souls of our children. It's a very sobering truth, but it will help us to identify what has potential danger so that we can deal accordingly with it. We cannot parent effectively if we do not recognize that our children are always at risk and always being targeted by an enemy. I remember I was invited to a friend's house for a party in junior high. I informed my parents, And we were told it would be chaperoned by my friend's parents, the ones who were having the party. Now, how could the devil be involved in this harmless junior high party? These parents, they had raised some wild kids, but they were my friends. And I talked my parents into letting me go. I was lethargic to the fact that I was walking into a trap, Satan's trap. What wound up happening was that those parents who were supposed to be chaperoning, they went to bed about halfway through the party. And that's when the not good stuff started. I'll say this. There is stuff that the devil used that night that I have not forgotten to this day. Almost 40 years later. In the battle for Drew Kleinbell's life, that night was a major loss. We knew that that night had strong potential for bad, but we went into the battle apathetic and unconcerned. Gang, it would be so nice if our kids were not in the crosshairs of an evil enemy looking to destroy our children's lives. Believing that would be nice, but it would be disastrous. It was for me. The Bible says there is a spiritual war going on for our kids. And if we are honest about our society, we must admit, our society is not winning this war. Now the good news. We've just fleshed out our opponent. Any surprise attack he may have been planning, well, he's just been thwarted. We know now. There's a spiritual battle being fought. We know they're after us. He can't hide behind any rocks because we're checking them. Next, wouldn't it be nice to lock our children into their original innocence and just hide them away from all the perils of this world? Wouldn't it be nice? Well, that would be nice, but our children would still have an issue to deal with. Point two, our children are born as prisoners of the other team, and they need to be rescued. Right off the bat, godly parents have a job to do. They must rescue their children from the kingdom of this world and its ruler, Satan. We read it. Paul wrote, "For they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants." Jesus made this fact abundantly clear to a man who thought he knew almost everything about religion. Jesus told Nicodemus this, John chapter 3. "I tell you for certain that you must be born from above before you can see God's kingdom." Nicodemus asked, "How can a grown man ever be born a second time?" Jesus answered, "I tell you for certain that before you can get into God's kingdom, you must be born not only of water, but of spirit. Humans give life to their children, yet only God's spirit can change you into a child of God." Don't be surprised when I say that you must be born from above. Only God's Spirit gives new life. You see, Jesus is making it very clear that each one of us must make the journey from spiritual death, where we're born, to spiritual life. Gang, know this. None of us are born on God's side. None of us are born on God's side. None of us are born saved. None of us are born safe. None of us are born safe. There are only two kingdoms. There are only two rulers. God's kingdom and Satan's kingdom. And everyone starts out in Satan's kingdom. I'll say that one more time. There are only two kingdoms, two rulers, God's kingdom and Satan's kingdom. And everyone starts out in Satan's kingdom. That includes our children. And that is why they need to be rescued. Now, it would be nice to think that we are all born on God's team and that our relationship and position with Him is intrinsically set when we are born. But that is not biblical. When Adam chose to decide what was right and wrong for himself, remember what was the fruit he ate? Between the knowledge of good and evil. He wanted to decide for himself what would be right and wrong. When that happened, God gave mankind over to the kingdom of Satan and self. Now, our children must make the walk back to God and ask for the relationship and the kingship of God to be restored with them. Our job as parents is to lead them there. It's to initiate the rescue. Tony Evans says this. He says, kingdom parenting involves intentionally overseeing the generational transfer of the faith in such a way that our children learn to consistently live all of life under God's divine authority. Gang, we are the ones who must show our children the way to God. Paul wrote, they are being held captive by him, Satan, to do whatever he wants. Now, some good news. You and I have a great deal of help in this rescue mission. We have a great deal of help. God has placed you in a church family that have some spiritual giants when it comes to rescuing children. If you don't believe me, go and check out what's going on in Kids Bridge. Check out what's going on in Baby Bridge, Teeny Bridge, Big Kids Bridge. Meet Miss Linda and see the love of Jesus that she pours out on these children. Meet the cool and the talented teachers and leaders who share Bible stories and show children the way to Jesus' loving arms. Our children need to be rescued, and it's our job. But God has sent us tremendous help. Now, it would be nice to think that if we put our parenting on autopilot, that our kids would be okay, and that life with them would be just fine. That would be nice. But it wouldn't be the reality of what the Bible tells us. Point three, a lack of rescue and a lack of godly parenting leads to kids bringing chaos. The nation of Israel had fallen right into this trap. Putting their parenting on autopilot. Here's what Isaiah recorded as the result of that. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12. Though you are God's people, you are ruled and abused by women and children. You are confused by leaders who guide you down the wrong path. One of my leadership principles that I live by, one of the principles I live by is this. If you don't lead it, it will lead you. This is absolutely true in parenting as well. If you don't parent or lead your children, they will lead you. And children leading, according to the Bible, brings nothing but chaos. We can attest, amen to that. We have all been in the homes. We've all been in the homes where children have never been taught first-time obedience. And you see them ignoring their parents, running wildly through the house, screaming, right? Screaming in the home and creating chaos. And we've all seen the chaos adolescents can wield when they are not parented. We've all seen the turbulent, chaotic mess a teenager or young adult can make, not just of their lives, but of others' lives as well, when they have not been rescued, then taught how to live under God's authority. A lack of rescue and a lack of godly parenting leads kids to bringing chaos. Now the good news. Our God is a God of order, not a God of chaos. God will show us what we should do to help our children place their faith in Christ and to have our children embrace a life that is Spirit-led. 3 points down, 1 point to go. It would be nice if our kids could just get good and act properly all on their own. Or at least if they could get there quick and not be so much of a long process. Point four, parenting requires intentional, prioritized action. Gang, the Bible and your life are action adventure stories. The Bible and your life are action adventure stories, not dramas. In this passage that we read, 2 Timothy, Paul calls us to run. He calls us to run, action. He calls us to pursue. He calls us to enjoy. He calls us to stay away from. He calls us to teach. He calls us to be patient. And he calls us to instruct. All those in one small passage. All because people and kids are being held captive in the devil's trap. Parenting is an action word. And I don't just mean changing diapers and feeding kids. If we are to raise children who are living the full life under God's divine control, then we must be intentional and we must be diligent. It seems like several decades ago, you could put your parenting, you could kind of put it on autopilot. Kids would come out all right a few decades ago. You know, the Ozzie and Harriet, Leave It to Beaver, Happy Days Society. That is absolutely not the case today, gang. You cannot put your parenting on autopilot and think your kids will be okay. When we, you, had a child, we accepted the biggest, the most time-consuming job of your life. It calls for action. It calls for insight, mindfulness, awareness. It calls for intuition, discernment. It calls for wisdom. It calls for bravery. The list goes on. I remember when I got my puppy Cooper. I had to watch him like a hawk. He lived for the first part of his life with a leash on him 24 hours a day. I had to check and watch what he was into. I had to watch how he would act with other dogs, what he was doing, whether his actions were good. I sat on him diligently to ensure that he learned properly, acquiring the right habits, and that he was always safe. If that's the intentional overseeing I did with my puppy, how much more intentional overseeing should we be investing in our children? Gang, the good news is this. Westbridge is turning off the autopilot switch when it comes to parenting. We're turning it off. We're going for this. And I want to ask you to commit to the journey. This is where you learn parenting, gang, in case you were wondering. The first thing I'd like you to commit to is to believing the fact that there is a war going on for your kids. There is. Commit to not living oblivious to the danger that our children are living in. Second thing to commit to, I'd like you to commit to being active in rescuing your child from the place of being separated from God. Have you ever, around the dinner table, asked your child, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Sounds like the best question you could ever ask your child. We have to ask. And if not, where are you at with Jesus? Be honest. You're not going to get in trouble. Give me your plate. You get nothing until you... That's that. Pastor Drew's still learning. All right? Ask him. Where are you at? And tell him where you're at. The third thing I'd like you to commit to is ridding your life of chaos. If you've got chaos, put that in your crosshairs and target it. Because if you've got chaos, it can be changed. There is no reason why we, as followers of Jesus Christ, should have homes that are chaotic. I understand a bad day, and so does God. But our goal is no chaos. Parent it well. No autopilot. The third thing I'd like you to commit to, is just the fourth thing it is to do just that. Disable the thought in you that you can put this parenting on autopilot and let something else raise your kids. No. You own it. I own it. And we'll do it together. I'm going to ask the band, the worship team to come back. We've got a long ways to go. We haven't gotten to any of the how-tos. We haven't gotten to any of the principles, really, on what we are to do. But we know what the problem is. God entrusted children to those who he believed could bring them through safely, to rescue them, to bring them to him, show them how to live. Kids want that. Kids don't want a life of chaos. Kids don't want to be lost. They don't want to live under the schemes of the devil. And they need us to show them the way. I'm committed to go through this. I'm going to ask you to talk to God as we do one last worship song and commit. Say, okay, Lord, I get it. I'm going to learn how the Bible tells me to be an intentional parent. Just Lord, I pray that you would be with us on this journey. Lead us and guide us. Lord, this isn't talked much about these days, and I pray that we would be pleasing you with our desire to learn how to raise up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. Show us your truth as we study your word, and Lord, let the Holy Spirit that you place inside every believer power us to do what you've called us to do. Help us to learn the knowledge. Help us to apply it into our lives as wisdom. Help us to be brave to live it through, to see it through. Lord, we don't want to lose to the adversary, and we don't want any of our kids to be lost. So I pray you would let this church be a lighthouse to the world, where when people see our children, they say, I want one of those. Because we've learned how to raise kingdom kids. In Jesus' name, amen. See you next week for part 2.